This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
We'll go check, Nibo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer. It's Wednesday morning. It's very rainy in New York City. Actually, that might be a lie. I don't know if it's raining outside right now. I think it's gonna. It's Vanderpump Rules time. We do it every Wednesday. You know the drill. This week's episode in Tahoe. They're kind of cooking with some gas, I think. The last couple weeks have been a little bit bumpy, a little bit slow, a little bit what's going on? What are we doing here? What's the tea? And I think this week the soil was fertile. That's what I'll say. But first, I have to speak about this page 6 headline that I'm looking at, which is breaking my soul a little bit, in the words of Beyonce. Here's the headline. Tom Schwartz, 41, sparks dating rumors with 23-year-old recent college grad. Oh my God, you guys. Tom Schwartz, 41, sparks dating rumors with 23-year-old recent college grad. Okay, first of all, this is a classic, like, a little bit shady page 6 headline where they're like, we're going to tell you her age in the headline and we're also going to note that, like, did you know a 23-year-old is about the age that someone is after graduating from college? Like, okay, yes. But also, like, don't you kind of forget that Tom Schwartz is 41. I feel like we made such a big deal out of Jax turning 40. What was it, like 12 years ago now? That then when the rest of them started hitting 40, it kind of got swept past. Where it was like, okay, like, you know, the most of the women aren't 40 yet. Like, Kristen Doty's 40, but like Sheena, Ariana, Katie, I think, are all still in their 30s. Tom Schwartz is 41. 41. Not that there's anything, you know, 41, it's a great age. But is it a great age to be dating a 23-year-old? So here's what's happening. He has sparked dating rumors with this young woman, Sophia Scoro, after she has posted a couple of TikToks of them together. They were in Vegas. They were at a restaurant in LA. They seem to be sort of traveling together. I don't know. There's no like confirmed relationship, but they're clearly spending some time together. Schwartz did say on Watch What Happens Live last month that he was not dating but hanging out with someone, and that he didn't want to put his relationship in the spotlight. But Sophia has been the one posting these TikToks, and according this is what page 6 says. According to Scoro's social media pages, she works as a vintage designer curator and graduated from the University of Oregon in June 2022. Oh, God. Like, this girl was still in college when Tom and Katie announced they were getting divorced. Woof. It's just... I'm not even somebody who really... like gives a fuck about age gap relationship discourse. Like, I personally find it very boring. Like, if you're 30 and you're dating somebody who's like 24, you'll see people on Twitter or TikTok be like, nah, that's problematic. And I'm like, who cares? Life is short. You love who you love is love is love. Like Lin-Manuel Miranda, love is love is love. Like, I just don't find it that exciting to like police somebody else's relationship norms. But like, 41 and 23, it just feels a little bit like, why? I think that's the thing for me. It's not just like that's so creepy or that's so weird. It's just like, if you are a 41-year-old man who has been married and divorced, the fact that you're like getting back out there into the dating scene and you're like, okay, who am I gonna relate to the most and enjoy spending all my time with and whatever, and what you land on is like a girl who was a sophomore in college during the pandemic. I don't know. I mean, Schwartz is perhaps not the most mature person we've ever had on our TV screens. So maybe maturity-wise, they're on a similar level. I still think that that doesn't make it feel not weird. But whatever. Maybe we'll be seeing Sophia next season on Vanderpump Rules. I can't wait to see how she wriggles her way into like a serving job at Sir. Or maybe she'll like bus tables at Tom Tom. Who knows? We all got to start somewhere. And, you know, the somewhere where we're starting today is in Tahoe. This trip, I thought, got off to kind of like a floppish start. Like last week, I just wasn't really, it wasn't like giving much. That first dinner where Lisa was there, I think Lisa being there didn't help. The like demolition wall where it's like motherfucking Scandoval, like that fell flat. But this episode, we get a few really interesting sort of one-on-one dynamics, some really fascinating confrontations, and to watch Tom Sandoval going through this like push and pull of he like desperately wants people to like him again, to be back sort of in the good graces of the group. But at the same time, there are certain things that he just can't stop himself from saying and doing to work against that goal. I think it's kind of riveting. Like, I think it's from a viewer perspective, watching the push and pull between him and Sheena and him and Lala and him and Brock. And I mean, pretty much everyone in this group has a sort of moment where it's like something's not clicking with Tom, and he can't just say what he needs to say and then shut up and act and move forward. It's like, if you want to move forward, in a lot of ways, you hold the keys to that gate. But if you're putting the key in the lock and turning it halfway and then lighting the whole gate on fire, you're still not going to be able to drive past the gate. What is this metaphor? What gate am I talking about? Putting a key in a lock? I don't know. God, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But so we start off. It's a new day in Tahoe. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. Schwartz saw a blue jay, the biggest one he's ever seen. Congratulations. There's this meditation thing happening. This woman is there to lead it. She, bless her heart, she seems like a nice lady. But this meditation, I have some feelings about this whole situation. First of all, I don't consider myself to be a very meditative person. This might come as a shock to all of you. I'm not great at following someone else's guidance to achieve a personal breakthrough. And like, if I need to do some work on myself, I feel like I'll get to it. Like, I'll handle it. Maybe not always. I mean, there are certain situations where it's like, yes, you should like talk to someone or like ask for advice. But I don't know that, like, random blonde lady in Tahoe walking us through our trauma is really, like, the way that I would go about, like, making productive change in my life. The exercise that they're doing, where they're sitting back to back and breathing and are you okay, and then looking in each other's eyes, pairing Sheena and Sandoval together, it just feels manipulative. Because we have, this whole season, we've seen Sheena really struggling and really, I think, actively trying to process and work through all of the shit that's gone down with Tom and with Ariana and with the whole group over the last few months with Raquel Rachel. And this to me felt like a situation. I don't know if Meditation Lady was briefed by producers or if Sandoval was like, hey, can you pair me and Sheena together? It just felt like Sheena was kind of set up. And I think Shishu can do bad all by herself. You know, she can make questionable decisions and she can have flawed judgment. And sure, she can be a flip-flopper sometimes. But let her do it on her own terms. Don't be like, hey, Sheena, actually, you really should be sitting down and feeling the physical connection with Tom Sandoval right now, because that's what this activity is about. It's like, can you let the girl live? She's having like a mini menti bee. Brock got home 6 hours late from fucking golfing at the other end of the lake when he's like, yeah, we were all the way down at the, you know, South Tahoe. And the meditation lady is like, wow, that's far. Brock, get back to the house. You're on the clock here. So Sheena's already mad about that. She's like freaking out because she tells us that in the pandemic, when she didn't have any money and nothing was coming in, that Sandoval just PayPal'd her thousands of dollars one day, like no questions asked. That was news to me. Maybe, I don't know if she's ever talked about it anywhere else. I was like, oh, damn. Sheena's complicated feelings about this whole situation are completely valid. The choices that she makes based on those feelings, I may or may not agree with, and those might be more questionable, but I think the complexity of her feelings makes complete sense. And so it's a little, I feel like she's already sort of doing the work to get through it. And so to have like Meditation Lady kind of, you know, like juicing the numbers on that, it's like, we're good. Thank you. And Tom is sort of like, hey, so like all things considered, are you okay? And like, now can we make our weird forced eye contact? And then when she like needs a minute, she leaves. Like, that seems like the healthy choice to me. And then Brock chases after her and he's like, Sheena, I mean, that really could have been like a minute to, you know, have a moment with you too. And she's like, sorry, in the pairs meditation that I was kind of hoping to be paired with my husband. And he's like, yeah, but like, I thought that you were supposed to have that moment with Sandoval. The Brock voice is too much, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't know where that's coming from. I feel like I'm like in Dune, like, use the voice. Sheena, talk to Sandoval. Get closure. I don't know. It just feels like these guys are trying to make it harder for Sheena than it needs to be. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe. And you're making like that mental checklist of, if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want, with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
They do have like a little more of a talk. And she says that she doesn't understand what he did to Ariana. That their, you know, their one-on-one relationship is one thing, but that she still can't like wrap her mind around this. And Tom just is like, well, I don't know if, you know, maybe you don't, if you don't understand, maybe you don't understand. And Sheena's like, I don't know if I need to understand. Tom still seems to feel like there is a version of events in his mind where he didn't really do anything that wrong. And that if he unlocks whatever narrative so the rest of the group can see it, that suddenly they'll understand. Like there's still some, there's just some piece that they're missing where it's like, my relationship with Ariana wasn't good and Raquel and I weren't specifically trying to hurt you guys. And it's like, specifically, it doesn't matter. Specifically, you did it. You created the situation with Raquel, who is, you know, has removed herself from the narrative. So obviously that doesn't, it doesn't help that Tom is like burdened now with being the only bad guy left in the room. But at the same time, that doesn't make it Sheena's fault that he was the bad guy. It's complicated. I think it's okay that it's complicated, and it's okay that Tom is frustrated with how certain things have gone down. But at the same time, like, I think he's still, and I feel like, you know, I feel a little bit like broken record, but like every week we've gotten at least one scene where he just kind of, he comes close to taking accountability, to saying the right thing, to really apologizing, but then he can't stop himself from kind of walking it back and being like, yeah, okay, what I did was wrong, but what you did was worse. And it's like, my man, my guy, shut the fuck up. Just shut up. It's very, I was listening to the Olivia Rodrigo song, One Step Forward, Three Steps Back. And I feel like that's like the Tom Sandoval theme song for this season. Like, when they're in the gondola, so they go to this gondola. The Toms and Brock are in a gondola together, and they're like, oh, so how was the meditation thing for you? And then Sandoval is talking about how, like, Sheena's OCD diagnosis makes a lot of sense because she's, like, so laser-focused on hating him. And I'm like, okay, this is... Let's not. I'm kind of obsessed with Sandoval making Sheena's OCD about him, where it's like, It's like some people, when they have OCD, they like count their steps, or they're like flipping the light switch 12 times. Sheena just can't stop thinking about how much she hates me. Like, I'm not a medical professional, but I don't think that's how that works. He's like, yeah, she has to look over her shoulder 6 times, you know, chew her gum to the beat, and also talk about how she hates me. Like, are you for real? He's still saying to Brock that he and Raquel didn't try to hurt the group. And Brock is like, bro, your girl put a restraining order on her. Maybe you weren't thinking about it when you had the 7-month-long affair. That's a long time to not think about it, but whatever. But, like, you still weren't trying to hurt the group when you filed a restraining order? He's like, yeah, but she punched her in the face. And I will just remind Tom Sandoval one more time that Sheena, because she has long nails, physically cannot make a fist. We know this. This is a fact. That is just science. That is physics. Is that physics? Like, matter? Like, because Sheena's nails are like hard, solid matter. And they can't, I don't know if it's physics. I haven't taken physics in like a decade. But shut up. Shut up. So much of this episode just comes down to Tom needing to shut the fuck up. His argument with Lala later. They're on the boat. Shut the fuck up. I think, look, and this is another situation where, just like with Sheena, there are legitimate things that you can dislike about Lala, or that you can take issue with the way she handles things. But I think when she sits down with Tom and she's like, can I just ask you a question? First of all, how dare you? It's very like in The Office, like Toby's exit interview, when Michael sits down with him and he doesn't know Holly's going to be in the room. And he's like, first question, who do you think you are? Second question, what gives you the right? Wait, speaking of Holly from The Office, I'm seeing Doubt on Broadway tonight, and Amy Ryan, who played Holly, is like the main woman. I'm excited. Whatever. Literally has nothing to do with anything. But Tom, like, all Lala wants is like an apology for Tom being a fucking hypocrite when he was in the press literally the day that he got caught having a 7-month-long affair, saying that Lala's fake and Lala is lies and whatever. And it's like, all you have to do is just say, like, that was shitty, you're right. Leave it there. Instead, he cannot stop himself from going back to, well, Lala, you were in a 6-year relationship and you lied for half of it, so we're the same. Let's call it a wash. The fact that he's like bringing on a meditation lady, it's like, no, what you actually should have done before this season, before this trip, before whatever, literally, okay, first of all, maybe like anger management. I don't know much about that, but like, it seems like he could be a candidate. But also just like, sit down with somebody, not even a therapist, like a, literally these people need like a reality TV strategist, like a reality TV relationship coach, to talk through their relationships with everyone on the cast, the potential issues, the potential triggers, the potential, you know, dynamics that could come up before the season. This actually, make a note of this. I need to start marketing my services. A 2-hour session to go over everything, to say, okay, so I understand that you have this issue with this person in the cast. I understand that if they bring it up, you're going to want to say this. You're going to want to escalate it here. You're going to want to bring up the fact that Lala in the past wasn't honest about her own relationship. But here's the thing. If you bring that up in this situation, it's going to make you look A, petty, B, like you're not actually taking accountability for what you did wrong. You're just trying to kind of go tit for tat. And C, it's going to make you look like you don't actually want to meaningfully move forward with this group because you're still focused on the past. And I feel like in every instance, Tom needs somebody in his ear sort of explaining, hey, you're totally get how you're feeling. Love that. In this moment, it's not going to serve you to bring this up. Like, maybe there needs to be like a text hotline where like in between scenes, you can be like, man, Lala's being a bitch. How should I respond? And it's like, don't take the bait. Just say you're sorry. I could make millions off this. I've always said that people should have reunion strategists. Fuck it. You need a strategist for the whole season. Does this already exist? Somebody must do this. Or a consultant? I don't know what consulting is, really. Like, if somebody tells me they work for, like, BCG as a consultant, I'm like, great. So what do you do? But this sort of consulting, I could get into. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Do you want to talk about, so that's pretty much everything that happens in Tahoe. You know, there's like a little boat day. Schwartz is explaining to the crew how they like rebranded the dog. Graham, now hippie. James hard launches his ownership of the dog on Instagram. That's brave. But I do want to talk about what's happening back in LA with Katie and Ariana. Because, so we get a scene. They're having lunch. They're talking about Sheena. You know, there's like mixed feelings there. But then we get another scene where they're conducting job interviews for front of house positions at Something About Her. And I just, here's the thing. Something About Her, as you may or may not know, has still not opened. It's now March 6th. I did just have to check the date. This was filmed in June, July of last year. So these interviews can't have actually led to anything. I'm not saying they were fake at the time. I'm just saying, like, these people definitely aren't still, like, nobody's on the payroll for Something About Her because there's no pay. There's no money. There's no money. I don't begrudge Katie and Ariana and any of their partners the timeline of this restaurant. Like, I understand shit happens. This business is complicated. I can't begin to pretend to understand like all the permits and things. And I know I have heard, I mean, I guess from Vanderpump Rules that WeHo is like notoriously slow and difficult about permits and things like that. I don't care. I don't think it's shady that their restaurant isn't open yet. I just can't pretend to care that much about it as a TV storyline. And that is honestly less about the specific issues with Something About Her and more the fact that we've already had, what, 4 different bar and restaurant opening storylines on Vanderpump Rules? back in the day, we saw Pump open. Tom Tom was like a 2-year saga. Schwartz and Sandy's went on forever. Like, I just don't think it's that interesting. You know, it's one thing to have it be brought up, to be talked about a little bit here and there, but we don't need multiple scenes an episode of process. And so I hope that it opens. I hope that everything's going well. I hope they make a lot of money. I don't, my bandwidth for caring about anybody's restaurant is quite low. So I don't know. They do get a FaceTime call from Sheena. She's explaining, you know, that she has these complicated feelings about Tom and they did this meditation thing and that she felt like she saw genuine tears from him for the first time and that she is, you know, still working through her own feelings about him, but that basically she says she can't keep hating Tom for Ariana forever. And I feel like I've seen some mixed response to this. I think that the there definitely is a tendency that I see among viewers of the show to sort of just like pile on Sheena sometimes. And she doesn't always help herself in that regard. And it's the same thing with this photo that they took in Tahoe where she and Tom are next to each other. And she's like, this girl was like, it's my birthday. Can I get a photo? And I just jumped in the photo and he jumped in next to me. Like, I don't think that's that big of a deal. I get why it sucks to have people in your Twitter mentions being like, Sheena the flip-flopper. But also it's like, just like mute the app. Nothing bad ever happened because somebody took a day off of Twitter. In fact, I recommend it. But I do think that Sheena has a point with the thing with Ariana, that I think that this show and probably this friend group will function best if everybody kind of handles their relationships on an individual level. And certainly for the mechanics of the show, it works better if we don't have the entire cast just not speaking to someone. So I think that Tom, as I've said over and over again, Tom isn't handling this amazing. And I think he has a lot of work to do. And I think he could, benefit from maybe my services. Actually, no, I don't want to work with Tom. But like, you know, he could stand to take some notes about how he's approaching things. But at the same time, I don't want everybody in the cast to not speak to him for a year until he like figures his shit out. And so I think that Lala and Sheena kind of having this conversation and sort of deciding that they need to take their own route through these issues, I think it's for the good of the show, and we'll see kind of how it pans out. I don't love the whole, like, Ariana needs to be taken down a notch. Like, she needs to come back down to earth. But I do think that she could be a little more understanding of Sheena's feelings. And I do think that there's room kind of for both things. And I think that Sheena is kind of in the eye of the storm in terms of trying to navigate these really complicated feelings and these people that have been in her life for a long time. And I mean, Sandoval, she talks about it all the time, was a dear, dear friend of hers. He has helped her out when she was down. They have really been there for each other. They've been through this whole experience of the show since the beginning. And I think that it's a little for Katie and Ariana to kind of dismiss how bumpy this road is going to be for everyone as they sort of figure out what the new normal is. I feel like I have some grace for how Sheena's handling things. And Lala, too. I think everybody's kind of arriving on their own timeline. And, I mean, look. Sheena wanted to do Dancing with the Stars. And she's happy for Ariana, but she really wanted it. And you can drag her for that all you want. But that's fucking relatable. I'm sorry. Who among us has not seen a friend get a promotion that you wanted or seen a friend get a job that you wanted? Like, it happens. I don't know. Maybe like justice for Shishu, or at least like patience for Shishu. Yeah, that's it. Patience for Shishu. That's my platform. Patience for Shishu 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. We've got more coming tomorrow, later this next, I don't know. You guys know the schedule. Whatever. Until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.